It's Friday the 13th again for the second time this year. Am I remembering last year?
It all runs together. Is it not normal to have two in one year?
I don't know. Everybody's on vacation, though. There's no news the rest of the year. Everybody should go on vacation.
The Amazon warehouse workers are just angrily shaking their fist at you. All the retail workers.
You should have already ordered your Christmas presents. I'm sorry.
Well, we have the surveillance state, and our surveillance state isn't as bad as China's surveillance state. Although, we do impressively get the number two spot, which is weird because you would think of the UK, or at least Britain, where they have that whole CCTV system, right?
Not so much.
So, engagement challenge. What is the count of total surveillance cameras on the Earth right now? Pause the video. Put in your vote.
Is it more or less than the number of people?
Well,
a world with a billion cameras watching you is just around the corner. Global numbers grow almost 30% as higher image quality allows better facial recognition. So it's not just that there are more cameras, it's that there are more pixels, and there's a literal explosion of pixels.
So the current number is right around 770 million cameras. So how long do we add that last little 230?
Is that counting Facebook portal or no?
I think these are like government, yeah. Like public surveillance.
Yeah.
If so you put Ring in there, I bet it's much higher.
Yeah. Well, not yet, but probably by this time next year at the rate at which Ring is being sold. But also all the cell phone cameras and the Pokemon Go players and... Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
So the ranking goes China number one, then the U.S., and then all of Asia, excluding China, comes in at number three.
The U.K. is just not even trying.
Well, they're pretty small.
My impression of the U.K. CCTV cameras is that most of them don't work the way that they're supposed to. The ones that do work are like old and like 420p resolution.
Well, you still count them, right?
They tried to put them like way up high on a pole so that a person is like 2 pixels. And they're like, yeah, this one camera covers an entire city block. It's like, bad news, guys. You can't see anything when that happens.
And despite their efforts, they're constantly whining about stabbings and knife crimes and stuff like that.
They got him with a potato peeler.
So, yeah, that was effective. Way to trade your freedom for security. Now, you talked about this one earlier, and we thought it was going to be in the other one, but it's in security, which actually...
kind of makes sense.
Also, I put an FBI story in security because sometimes it's like...
It's so hard.
Is FBI security or is it government? And then I'm not even consistent with my determination. So, whatever. We're still going to cover it.
TikTok's parent company sued for collecting data on kids. Now, this is the musical.ly thing that we reported on a couple of weeks ago. That has come to a head. They weren't able to work it out. It's where TikTok acquired that company, and that technically that company has been sued, and so TikTok is like, look, that was an acquisition, we don't know.
And that happened before TikTok had them.
Yeah.
So, I guess they fixed it after that? I wasn't clear here.
No, it can't prove that they're still collecting data on kids.
Yeah, but, see, I think it's ridiculous that we should have a double standard.
Yeah.
If it's not okay to do... collect those things about kids, it shouldn't be okay to collect those things about anybody. I mean, I guess there's a consent variable in there, but still.
But you're not allowed to consent to other things, mostly, on almost all of the U.S., things like prostitution, so...
Or, like, things that you put in your body, the kinds of plants that you set on fire. Apple. So, Apple has the activation lock, which is super effective. If your phone gets stolen or, you know, so you lose it or whatever, and you can lock it down and the next person cannot use it. They can get no value out of it. But at the same time, what percentage of Apple users do you think understands that in a resale scenario or, you know, like donating it?
Is there a disincentive to help Apple, have Apple help their customers understand, hey, are you retiring this computer? You just hit this button.
Well, you're getting ahead of yourself here. But absolutely, Apple benefits from every one of those that can't be activated because you can't track down the original person. So how do we fix that? Well, we don't fix it. We expand the program.
iFixit has got the article, the report on Apple's activation lock will make it very difficult to refurbish Macs. So this is part of the T2 chip and the encryption. The encryption on these devices can be so good that a repair shop is unable to reset them. So you can say, it's like, hey, you can't ever fence stolen goods. A stolen Mac laptop would be worthless. That sounds pretty good. But there's also no way for an owner to say, I'm done with this, give it to somebody else.
Well, there is, but it's an obscure total reset process. Now, if you're getting rid of a computer, you should be totally resetting it. But we're talking about Apple users here.
Literally everything in this Mac was worth it, turned back into sand. Is that like a genie? Like the genie's new master, you have to wish on something? I don't know.
I don't think that's a rule. I think it's whoever's got the the lamp, right? It's not like that. You think that anybody experimented with genie DRM via wishes? That would be what Tim Cook would do, right?
Yeah.
I wish that no one else could ever make another wish is my first wish. DRM is a plague, and it's bad. It doesn't stop piracy. We've seen study after study that proves that a lot of the people who pirate games or movies or whatever weren't going to buy them anyway. And then if you stop them through DRM, then they probably are never going to make your money, or at least you're not going to make that like first week sale. They're going to buy it secondhand or something like that. But there's a darkness to DRM, and it's not just how annoying it is. It's that ultimately you're creating something that, just like the Mac, makes it impossible to get around in the future. No one's thinking about the future when we think about DRM.
It's fragile. The curse of the outdated DRM. It's claimed another victim, Tron Evolution. If you bought Tron Evolution, but you haven't played it yet, the game is currently broken, owing to the DRM servers are down.
Well, Securom is what secures this. Disney has parted ways with Securom. So the Securom servers are no longer listening for Tron Evolution, which means that when you install it, Securom just always returns false.
Yeah. Gotta love how that game's played.
So Disney has been alerted about this, and their response is, we're working on that, don't worry. Thank you for your patience.
We don't care.
Yeah. No one, that's not going to, the crazy thing is people are still installing Tron Evolution.
it's historic. It's like, you know, if we hadn't made the Rosetta Stone, we wouldn't have been able to translate hieroglyphics.
Are you comparing Tron Evolution to the Rosetta Stone?
No, just the lack of any kind of thing to make the DRM go absent the original servers. A lack of the Rosetta Stone.
We've talked about packages and libraries that are poisoned these days. And when you're doing programming, more often than not, you're downloading some kind of library, right? This is Python. You're going to be going out there to pip to be doing some stuff. Is there any way to get around it?
No.
But you got to be super, super careful. It's terrifying.
Two malicious Python libraries caught stealing SSH and GPG keys. One library was available only for 2 days, but the second was live for nearly a year. Yeah.
So, this is crafty. Look what they did here. Python 3-dateutil. Now, there is a library called dateutil that's safe, and you can use it. But Python 3-dateutil steals your keys. And then we have jellyfish. You see that first L is actually an uppercase I. Jellyfish.
So if you just tab complete and you're not looking.
and I comes before L. So jellyfish, perfectly safe, useful. Jellyfish
steals your stuff.
Yeah. So watch out for that. Always got to be careful. The big dump of, remember they put together that like massive
billion password database.
They collated all the passwords together. Well, the good news about that is we can test against it much more easily. You know, the folks at Microsoft can use that as a lookup tool.
You can turn that on in Office 365 with a couple checkbox now. It's like, are your users using terrible passwords? Click.
Well, probably because of this. Because they did some, you know, they ran some data, and it's terrifying.
44 million Microsoft users reused passwords in the first 3 months of 2019. So Microsoft used that database of 3 billion publicly leaked passwords. Not that they reused passwords, but they used passwords from the naughty list. Yeah, 44 million users were affected.
Now, I didn't notice. Did they compare both email and password? Or do they just find that? Because there could be some...
They did both, but they were independent procedures. So okay. The email was, your email was on this list, change your password. And the second thing was, your password was one of the passwords, change your password.
So like a lot of people, a lot of very not creative people have a dog that's, you know, named Skippy or whatever, or a cat named Snowball. So I could see a lot of people using Snowball as their password, you know.
But you can enable this now. Actually, it's a plugin for, you can even get a PAM plugin for it, which is amazing. You can have your Linux passwords checked against all these billions of passwords, and it only takes about 50 milliseconds. So you should definitely enable that. We should turn that into a video.
Yeah, and they have that, the way of doing it without actually sending your password, which is brilliant.
And, password managers now are also, some password managers are incorporating the naughty list. So that when you try to set a password in your password manager and save it, it's like, hang on, I'm not sure that's the most secure password.
With the, the more and more rapid, the quicker the cycle of leaks as it continues to accelerate, how long before passwords are like IP addresses and like you have to use 500 digits just to get one that's not on the naughty list?
I'd love to have the data points of who all use the quote from Call of Cthulhu, like they use the Rye Lab, blah, blah, blah. Like, that was their password. And it's like, this is super secure, but not really, because you can copy-paste it from the text. But some guy lost, like, 10 or 15 Bitcoin because that was his wallet password. And I was like, this is really secure. And it was not secure at all because that was a thing that you could try.
And there's no extended characters or numbers in it. Most JavaScript wouldn't even let you validate that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably too long as well.
Yeah.
The old password is too long validation. I never really could understand that one. Well, if you are using your password manager in Linux, you're very security-minded, you're probably using the VPN too, right? You're feeling pretty superior about that. You're looking down at all the plebs and like, ha, they think my connection's coming from Iceland. Well, there's one more thing for you to worry about.
Oh no, there's a new Linux vulnerability that lets attackers hijack VPN connections. Security researchers found a new vulnerability allowing potential attackers to hijack VPN connections on affected Unix devices. And inject arbitrary data payloads into IPv4 and IPv6 TCP streams. It's got a CVE, so several different distros are impacted. Basically, it's a flaw in the TCP stack. Not really.
It's not been patched yet, but presumably someone will fix this. It affects pretty much every kind of VPN protocol, too. So there is no escape.
Was it intentionally designed this way?
Is the NSA somehow responsible for this?
It's the elliptic curve all over again.
Do you remember, I guess it was probably like, what, 2008, when AVG was a really good antivirus?
I always think it was like 2003.
Was it before then?
It was a long time ago.
Am I misremembering?
Yeah. It's a long time ago.
Well, those days are over, and we'll never see them again.
Mozilla removes Avast and AVG extensions from add-on portal over snooping claims. The four extensions, two from Avast and two from AVG, are still available on the Chrome Web Store. So Mozilla got some complaints here, and it's still not really clear what's going on. Mozilla removed the extensions, but it does seem like the extensions would report whatever web page you're looking at back to a central server. Now, whether that was enough for the central server to also log in as you with like cookies and stuff, we don't know.
Now, we've seen this before from security plugins, and they're like, no, we're testing to see whether or not this web page is safe for you to go to. And to do that, we need to log everything. We're definitely not selling that to advertisers. But they probably are.
We don't know. We have no way of knowing. We have no way of knowing what their intention is. But this would be a very dangerous database to accidentally leak.
Or a very lucrative database to own. Yeah. Now, it's not just Linux that has a new vulnerability this week, but also Android. And they're going after something more juicy than just your VPN connection.
Vulnerability in fully patched Android phones under active attack by bank thieves. Strandhog is a spoofing flaw exploited by 36 apps, including banking trojans. The article doesn't say, but I think this is the vulnerability that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where you could airdrop a file, and then the file that you airdropped basically runs with the same permissions as like the airdrop utility or the Bluetooth transfer utility or whatever it is. So there are different applications that will do different things with files on the file system in Android, and you can pretty easily get one of those trusted applications to run something that it should not trust, but it will run with the permissions of that application, and it can even request more permissions. So like, if you load something in, say, the Maps application can say, hey, can I use your camera? And it's like, oh, the Maps application wants to use my camera. That might be fine, but it's actually the Trojan.
I think they're exploiting like the OAuth type thing, where like, okay, I have this thing and I want to log you in through Google, or I want to log you in through your Steam account or your Facebook account. And then I can spawn that app to do the OAuth to then give me a token for your login.
And then Steam asks for permission to do more stuff.
But they're spawning their Steam lookalike. And so you log in with that, and then it logs into the real Steam in the background, and it still logs you in, but now it's stolen your credentials.
It's fully patched. Don't know how it's being exploited. We'll know in a week or two.
But it's nasty. So yeah. That's another thing where it's like, okay, instead of trying to remember all these passwords and, you know, have all those out there in leaked databases, maybe I just use an OAuth and I log into everything through Facebook, right? Well, that's not secure either, it turns out. At least not when something like this happens. We've talked a lot about Ring and
how incredibly horrible it is for privacy.
Well, it's just week after week. It just keeps getting worse. Every week, there's a new thing that comes out about Ring that makes you more and more terrified, not just to own Ring, but what if my neighbor gets it? I can't stop them. And this week, no exception.
Ring reportedly outed camera owners to police with a heat map. It has since removed the tool. All right, so picture this. You're in a police precinct, and you're like, hey, Amazon, can you tell us who in this neighborhood has a Ring? And Amazon says, I can't do that. I, you know, privacy concerns. But what I can do is give you a map of the neighborhood down that is so high resolution you could read the license plate numbers off of people's cars. And I'll show you exactly where you're getting live video feed from. If only the police had a database of where people lived, they could put the two together.
If only they had actually like forced some people to change their addresses in order to map everything to 911 calls like a couple decades ago and have exact perfect records like that.
It's like, well, on the overlay here, I'm seeing that this house has a Ring video feed. I bet that's the Johnsons.
Yeah, I was... this phone has like the voice over Wi-Fi improvement thing, and I'm out there where I don't get great coverage. So I was like, yeah, I'll turn that on. It's like, oh, we need your exact address for 911 purposes to tie to this IP address. And I was like, all right, I'm just not going to do it.
Nope.
That's, if I ever get sued for copyright, I know that this is going to screw me. So
it'd be funny if you had whole network VPN and like the IP address was like in Estonia. And it's like, what?
They would probably charge me for the helicopter that flew to Arkansas to try to, yeah, I'm not doing that. So I also have to remember that Ring has the whole, like, the police get a kickback if they put you on to Ring, and they'll come to your house and be like, hey, you need to say yes to the letting us view your video, and they'll coerce you in various ways. So now, not only do they know who does have it, but who doesn't have it, who is perhaps a potential customer.
Truly, the darkest timeline.
It really is. It's like, this timeline is 98% cacao. So we talked about the doctors getting on YouTube to check out surgeries, which is weird, but that one's kind of like a constructive use of the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
This one may be a little bit more destructive because, as this is the security section, everything eventually gets leaked, right? So what if I told you that some really, really personal, embarrassing details about you might be out there on the cloud in voice format?
Amazon lets doctors record your conversations and put them in your medical files. It also does transcription, and that seems exceedingly dangerous to me.
So not only are they in voice format, they're in plain text. Great. So, yeah, if doctors are getting on this Amazon medical thing, it's not just Google that's getting into the medical game. It's Google and Amazon. Do you think they'll ever get to a point where, like, a hospital has... They're either a Google hospital or an Amazon hospital.
See, I thought that was going to happen years ago because there was like the Google Health thing, and then there was the Microsoft like Bing Health Records that wasn't Bing at the time. And both of those companies have basically shut down those efforts. They're like, we're gonna make it so that there's a standard format and everybody can exchange medical records. And this nonsense of your doctor waiting 2 weeks on your MRI scan, that's terrible. And I agree, that's terrible. But the Google like Facebook warehouse data thing did not happen.
Okay, so we won't do it through the hospital. We'll do it through the insurance company.
Yeah, that's probably what's happening.
Yeah. So, anyway, I imagine you got a gunshot wound, right? And they're rushing you in through the trolley, and it's like, sir, would you like to sign up to Amazon Prime and save 30% on this procedure?
Your insurance company requires it. Yeah.
And your medical records are going to be one or the other. It's just a nightmare.
I got to wonder, though, what's to stop Jeff Bezos from getting in the insurance game? Because he's got... It would be just a license to print money far beyond what he's got now.
Also, think... for Google, maybe this is more valuable for Google, but if Google got into the insurance game, now they can mine that data for your profile.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah. So it's like, hey... This guy's got high blood pressure, so advertise to him based on that. And he's got back pain, so he probably is on opiates, so let's advertise, you know, stuff like that to him. And also, he started using Viagra 6 weeks ago after he met his new tennis trainer. So send that to the divorce lawyers. This is a story I alluded to before. We had that FBI block, and I should have put this there, but I didn't. Because I saw this, and I was like, this is more of a security story. Even though the other ones were kind of the same thing.
Now, even the FBI is warning about your smart TV security. This is a callback to a few days ago's episode where we talked about the whole IoT thing. Because the FBI is like, look, this IoT, it's the Wild West. You can't trust these devices. You're going to have to separate them from your network because they're going to do naughty things eventually.
And smart TVs are perhaps the...
Target most, number one?
They're the most powerful of the IoT devices, right?
Maybe. Although, you know, Vizio said they couldn't update to the latest version of Netflix because it requires too much CPU horsepower to decode.
Yeah, yeah. My mom's got a TV, and it's too old. Yeah. The Netflix app no longer works.
Makes sense. Mm. If only there was some sort of modular standardized connector that displays had that would allow you to replace out the electronics that are feeding the signal to the display.
If only... We could have predicted that computers tend to get much more power hungry and processor demanding as time goes by, and we could simply plug a new one in.
We're going to do away with all of the ports on the TVs. TVs don't have any ports at all.
How long until Apple starts manufacturing a TV?
I think that would be a selling point. They're like, look, you paint the charging pad into the wall, and then when you just hang the TV on the wall, no wires, and it's powered.
No, you buy the Apple mounting bracket.
Well, no, see, the charging pad is far better because you can only watch 8 hours of TV at a time, and then it has to turn off to recharge. That's a way of controlling your screen time.
You can turbocharge the charging time by just letting it play ads. Well, that's nonsensical, which is appropriate because we're moving on to nonsense. Now, if you are a vegan, you might want to tune out right now.
Oh, yeah. I got some bad news for you.
The vegan lifestyle. Now, some people do it for health, right? But if you're doing it for health, like, why wouldn't you eat honey, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's really about...
Bee vomit sounds delicious.
You have to respect the animals, and we're not supposed to eat them. We're not supposed to eat their byproducts because... They made that for them, not for us. But that's kind of like a moral high ground, right? And what if I told you that the things you were eating were suffering just as much as those poor little baby pigs?
New Scientist shows that recordings are revealing that plants are making ultrasonic squeals when stressed. Now, I don't know. I read the article. I don't know if I agree with New Scientist referring to the noises as squeals.
It makes a great headline, though.
Yeah. But the plants do actually make ultrasonic noises when they're stressed. So if the plant has been damaged, it moves from about one ultrasonic squeal per hour to like 25 to 35, like one every 2 seconds. So that's interesting.
And no water was the worst.
Yeah,
it's like they seemed to suffer the most when they were thirsty.
So I wonder this. There has to be an evolutionary mechanism for this. So I wonder if other plants can pick up on the ultrasonic squeals and if stuff happens as a result of that.
That is the one thing. So I'm thinking like because plants are such a communal type of living organism, right? They rarely just live one at a time. They seem to do better in groups. So that could be a way to maybe like, could they have some sort of response to like, everybody's screaming about water. Maybe I won't drop seeds right now.
Mm.
But have we ever seen anything that would make us think that?
I don't know that we've even really looked for that. I think we've just like, oh, there's been a reduced amount of water. The plants grow more slowly. I mean, basically with plants, it's a game of how quick can they extract carbon from the air to use for structural purposes.
So, I don't know. But if we can prove that the plants are suffering, what happens then?
I have a feeling that some people are just going to look this over. Or
yeah, they're going to be like, no, that's fake. I don't like that. Which is what I feel about veganism.
How would you kill the plant suddenly so that it doesn't suffer either? Because they're so distributed. I mean, when plants get cancer, but because the cells don't really move much in plants, the cancer doesn't like go all over the plant and then kill the plant because the cancer was literally everywhere.
So what you have to do is you have to grow all of your own food, right? And then you have to like get your water up to a rolling boil and pull the plant right out of the ground, right into the water.
That's like a lobster then.
Minimal suffering. And if when you take plants to a restaurant, for example, you have to just like dig them up, transplant them, and take them alive to the restaurant until they're ready to be cooked.
Well, that would be horrifying. From the time that they were dug up to the time that they were actually ready to be
eaten. That's true. That would be. Yeah, so we can't do that at all.
Guess you could freeze them. You could flash freeze them.
You think the refrigerant truck might damage the environment somewhat? Speaking of destroying the environment, I love Nestle water. It's delicious.
What's in your thermos?
It is. And the ice cubes in my thermos are also made of Nestle water.
That requires planning.
Krista hates that. But she uses K-cups. Mmm, yeah. Miss Hypocrite. So, Nestle water, and I'll admit, they're evil. And that's actually part of the appeal that I like about them. Because it's like all these vegans and hipsters, it's like, oh, we're destroying the earth. But they're hypocrites, most of them. Any of them that have children, you're a hypocrite. And Nestle is just like in your face. They're like the Xi Jinping of destroying the environment. It's like, yep, that's what we're doing, and we're making a ton of money doing it. And they have slaves. Nestle has slaves. So it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but when they make claims like this, you can't help but just like sit back and sort of give them the slow clap. It's like, wow, that is... Did you really expect that to work?
Nestle cannot claim that bottled water is, quote, an essential public service, a court has ruled. So Michigan's second highest court rules in favor of the township case that could damage the company's effort to privatize water. So, yeah, they were looking at putting a manufacturing plant here. But also, because it's Michigan, you know, they're like, hey, we can just say the bottled water is a public service. And the township can't do things like control the price of water that we're taking from their environment.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, bottled water became popular in, was it the 90s, I guess? Or was it later?
I think it was probably the 90s, yeah.
May have been like turn of the century. So we got along pretty well without it for quite a while. Now, the shocking thing here, I'll see if I can quickly spot the number of gallons they were pulling out. Do you remember reading
400
that?
Gallons per minute.
I thought it was more than that. Well, I thought it was in the thousands. Do you see it?
Oh, maybe. Maybe nominal flow was like 400 gallons per minute.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. 400 gallons per minute. It wanted to increase to 400 gallons per minute. So it's somewhere less than that. But 400 gallons per minute.
That's a lot of water.
That is crazy. And the Michigan people pointed out, it's like the aquifer can't sustain that. This is, you're just going to dry us out. You're going to extract our blood and leave a desiccated husk as you move on to the next victim. And yeah, that's pretty much the Nestle business model.
This is for Iron Mountain, though. You're
Ice Mountain.
Or Ice Mountain, yeah.
That's the same thing.
You're, yeah. But yours...
Pure Life is, doesn't... It's not like Pure Life doesn't have blood on its hands. Come on. Speaking of blood on your hands, the CRISPR guy that made the HIV-resistant babies. Everybody was kind of like, whoa, what, you shouldn't have done that. But he was like, I'll do it again. You ever see that Goofy meme? That's funny. It's got an obscenity in it. I can't say it here, but it's funny. So this guy actually released his research, and some other scientists have had the ability to go over it and look, you know, see like, okay, what did you do? And the findings are a little alarming.
Yeah. The headline from The Guardian is China gene-edited baby experiment, quote-unquote, may have created unintended mutations, unquote. So these were twins. They got CRISPR'd. And basically, the scientists are saying two things here. One, that they did successfully target the correct gene, but they did not edit the gene in the correct way. And the information in the paper shows that, like, there should be some proteins or something that they can detect. Those aren't there. So the mutation that confers resistance for HIV is not present in these twins, but something was affected.
Now, if we confirm that these twins are terrible mutants, and as they grow, it's not super obvious, but testing confirms, like, okay, there's something ain't right here. Do we, as a society, or I guess, you know, China, I mean, I'm asking this question knowing what the answer from China will be. Do we have the right to stop them from breeding?
There's a thing that I forgot that I knew until I reread it in this article, and that was part of the reason for this insanity is that the father has HIV. And in China, they couldn't afford to do some kind of... You can do sperm washing, which is today I learned. And it'll get rid of the HIV that way. But they couldn't afford to do that, so they did this instead, which seems like a terrible choice.
Well, they wanted to have a kid, and that all that therapy and everything, I think they had to do like in vitro and stuff, right? They, of course, couldn't afford it, so this...
was an alternative.
This madman came along, and he was like, oh, I could help you, you know? And
but there's a price. Right. The literal Rumpelstiltskin of...
the monkey paw.
Of CRISPR.
Did you also know that they have just opened an HIV-positive sperm bank?
Really?
Yes.
That's horrifying.
And it's kind of like a woke thing to be like, let's remove the stigma from HIV. And I guess they do the sperm washing thing. Did you buy anything on Cyber Monday?
I got some stuff on eBay.
How, percentage-wise, how much extra box was on your package?
Have you seen my desk? It's just like a pile of cardboard.
We're probably like toward the top 80 percentile of offenders when it comes.
Literally everybody in the neighborhood is like, hey, I need some boxes. Let's go to your...
Yeah.
It's bad. The Amazon effect is flooding a struggling recycling system with cardboard. More cardboard could wind up in landfills. That seems terrible because cardboard, this is like the easiest thing in the world to recycle. You just pull the packing material off of it.
Well, slow down because this headline is misleading. It's not Amazon. I mean, Amazon's certainly contributing to it. It's the Chinese trade war. You see, we take all of our cardboard, we put it on ships, and China's like, yeah, I'll give you a couple pennies for that. I can recycle that. I'll make that into something useful. Well, not anymore.
Yeah.
See, the trade war has put a stop to that.
We don't have anywhere in America that can recycle these, and we really should because it's easy to recycle.
But I think with our labor laws and you know, like minimum wage and stuff, you can't make it profitable.
You would have to build a factory that's more automated than most of the factories are. It's sort of a chicken and egg problem. You need the Chinese to come up with the automation technology, which will then be deployed in America so that it's safe for American workers.
Which will have a Trojan in it. This is something that Bernie Sanders needs to tax and spend on.
Better recycling infrastructure in America.
Right, yeah. Now, we've... the list of companies that are bending over backwards to the Chinese demands. Let's see, we got Steam, we got Google, we got Apple.
Oh, Apple plus 1,000.
We got the chip makers, basically.
Basically, any company that makes over $1 billion a year.
Didn't Nike do something?
Yeah, I mean, literally every company.
Sony, I think Sony did something. Yeah. So, but here's one that you might not have ever expected.
DC Comics comes under fire for deleting Batman poster that sparked a Chinese backlash. The poster describes Batman throwing a Molotov cocktail, which I think is out of character for Batman.
Yeah, he won't use weapons. They're like, you know,
guns. Not like that.
Maybe he was trying to stop a giant robot enemy or something.
I don't think Batman would throw a Molotov.
So this is, was it called DC Black Label or something like that? And apparently this is supposed to be like a more mature Batman.
He's getting old and he's like, I gotta throw the Molotov.
But some people in China, so they kind of like went conspiracy. They like kind of went Alex Jones on this. So something in it is pink, right? He was wearing a pink something. Pink is the resistance color. Or no, was it yellow? It's yellow.
I thought it was Pepe.
Well, yellow too. Okay. Yellow is the Hong Kong resistance color, and Batman was wearing yellow. He was throwing a Molotov, which is obvious, you know, like all the resistance uses Molotovs. And there was something else about this picture. And they thought, hey, this might be a secret piece of propaganda, Hong Kong propaganda. And you have to take it down immediately.
Deleted.
And DC said, you're right, we do. You know, I don't think Batman would have accepted that. I don't think that goes with Batman's character.
What would Ra's al Ghul say?
So, social media often brings out the worst in people because they want attention and they'll do stupid things like show off drugs and guns on social media or, you know, torture people with molten lead like the PTSD article. But
that was Facebook video. And who would upload that to Facebook?
Oh, you listen.
I've got to impress my friends on Facebook. What?
But here's one that maybe is more terrifying because the likelihood of me getting tortured with molten lead, I feel, is low. But the likelihood of me being in a dentist chair unconscious, incredibly high.
Dentist in Alaska allegedly rode hoverboard while extracting patient's tooth. You know, if this was in China, this would be something about the organ harvesting camps.
Extracting Uyghur kidneys.
Yeah, so I watched the video. It's just a dentist, you know, he's just standing on a hoverboard while extracting a tooth. But if you read the complaint, the criminal complaint, it's like, you know, this is the most reckless thing that there has ever been in the entirety of Alaska ever. And it's like, should he have done that? No. Do we need to really have the prosecutor vent his spleen on this? Probably not.
But there was also quite a bit of, like, Medicare fraud.
Yeah, that's a little problematic.
He'd been stealing money, like, hand over fist. So I think the tooth extraction is just the headline.
The final straw. It's like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, like, why are you practicing dentistry in Alaska? What did you do in the mainland?
Some people just like the quiet.
I guess. But is the kind of guy who rides a hoverboard while he extracts your tooth and posts it to social media, is he a guy who enjoys the quiet? Maybe he's just gone stir crazy.
Oh, I got some money my grandpa left me. I'm just going to go up there and work on my book for a while. I'll be back in a couple of years. It's like, no.
Yeah,
it's
before just, you know, you're practicing dentistry.
Yeah.
Now, one of our favorite stories ever on the Level 1 News was Romeo the Frog and his courtship, which we can't get any more details about because that stupid Twitter is just constantly giving me, you know, like environmentalist garbage and nothing about Romeo the Frog. I'm very angry about that. But frog research is a big deal. We're trying to learn more about them constantly. And you want to go out, you want to listen to the frogs, right? But some of those frogs live in the Amazon. How do you listen to frogs in the Amazon without going there every week? There's a solution.
Scientists create a special phone to dial up chatty frogs in the wild. Ribbits in real time, researchers ask themselves, why make so many nighttime pond visits when you can just pick up a frog phone instead? I wonder if the phone would be high enough fidelity. Yeah, she's calling from her iPhone. That figures. It's a solar powered phone. That's all it is.
There it is in the wild. So it fires up, you dial into it, and it's got some decent microphones, I guess, and it tunes into the frogs.
Woo.
You can study their calls. But really, aren't all the frogs just screaming, I want to have sex, I want to have sex, I want to have sex?
Yeah.
Just like the birds, just like the crickets, just like all the animals.
That should be a thing in one of the episodes of Rick and Morty when they get an animal translator like Dr. Doolittle, and that's just all that they hear. And
I'm sure some show has done that joke before. For sure. We're getting into a world where our generation, certainly, is getting into political office, which is crazy. Because, you know, you don't think of yourself as getting older, but you are. You're getting old, and you're injuring your hip, which I've done. But what about we think about lawmakers playing Steam games? It's kind of crazy, right? Like, do you have the cognitive dissonance of that as I do? No? Just me?
I was when I read this headline, I got the picture of, like, somebody going on voice chat to, like, playing Overwatch, and it's like, now I'm the candidate for you. Like, doing campaigning, like, actually in the game.
That's a different... I don't think that's what he was doing. So, no. But playing Steam games, that's fine. Using campaign money on Steam games, that's over the line.
Tech Times reports that a U.S. congressman has pled guilty to using campaign funds on Steam games. That is a federal offense. That's a felony.
Now, it wasn't just Steam games. That's the fun headline, right? It turns out he was all of his living expenses were coming from campaign contributions. Also, $1,300 on Steam games.
There's a lot of rules for this kind of thing. But what if he was campaigning with Steam games? Under what scenario would that be okay? Like, if he bought... Well, I mean, Overwatch is not a Steam game, but what if he bought, you know, CSGO and he was on voice chat campaigning?
How do you explain the groceries?
Groceries are not allowed for campaign funds.
Was he campaigning to Chef Boyardee? Yeah. So he's going to go away for a while. And he should. That's good to see.
I have a feeling this is some sort of partisan thing, though. It's like, we need to get him out. We need to find something. Consult the database.
Well, they found a lot.
Yeah, they did.
So, now this, you know, we're into the winter. Actually, it's technically not winter yet, is it? But it will be very soon.
Soon.
And you're going to fire up that fireplace. Put some logs on. That's very cozy and comfortable. But maybe you want a little something more out of your fire this winter. Maybe you want a special kind of scent.
Kentucky Fried Chicken is now selling fried chicken scented fire logs for the holiday season. Original recipe, of course.
Is there any statistically significant chance that there's not a serious carcinogen in one of those? How do you make that smell out of a log?
Colonel Sanders' original recipe did involve shoe polish.
There you go. But I bet that would drive your pets crazy as well.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be like a little chihuahua dog just throws itself into a fire.
Somebody smells chicken. KFC. What's going on? This is an amazing PR stunt. Whoever came up with this is
the, you know, it seems like KFC, they're willing to take the risk when it comes to advertising, right? Because they'll do crazy commercials and campaigns. And
the dating app.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
And they miss as often as they hit, but I figure, you know.
The D&D campaign?
Think about a crappy, like, Milquetoast where you're not taking risks and people aren't laughing at you, but they also just don't care. So I think if they're laughing at you, at least they're aware of you, right? You're driving down the road and you're like, God, that Yule log is the stupidest thing ever. I could go for some mashed potatoes.
We should get one of those for the Christmas Level 1 news.
We don't have a fireplace that vents into the...
We could probably open a window. It's probably fine.
I don't think that's okay. I put this one in because I thought Krista would enjoy it. She does have stories about being banned from Minecraft servers. I don't remember why. Do you remember why?
No, I don't remember why.
But she's got several stories about, like, she would go on Minecraft servers and be banned because they didn't...
She had very strong opinions about things.
She didn't play correctly with the other children. But now there's a place that all those little Minecraft snowflakes can go.
A Vatican priest is making his own Minecraft server to offer a less toxic community for gamers. One Jesuit priest is planning to launch a Vatican Minecraft server. Father Robert Bolliser. He's a Jesuit priest. He's sort of looked at, you know, kids spend a lot of time in Minecraft, and he's thinking, hey, maybe this would actually be a good place for the church to do some stuff, because good Lord, it's toxic. And the mouth on some of these kids, I gotta say, I agree with him. There's no politeness.
I can think of some things that Catholic priests have done that are more toxic than Minecraft chats.
probably not good to let this guy alone with the life.
I wouldn't let my kids do that. But I wouldn't let my kids out of the house, so, yeah.
That would be disturbing, like 12-year-old me. It's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm playing Minecraft with this old guy. It's like, wait, what? Only people from the parish would be allowed to join, but still, that's...
He's going to show me his sticky piston later. Real excited about that. Monkeys. We don't have monkeys in this country, and I'm glad because I hate monkeys. But some places in the world, they got monkeys just running around in the wild. It's crazy.
And they're protected sometimes.
Yeah. And monkeys will steal your food, your crops, and they're really hard to catch. I mean, think about how hard it is to deal with our pests. And monkeys are so much smarter and mobile. So what do you do? Well, they have an ingenious plan for dealing with these monkeys.
Farmer's monkey scaring plan is a roaring hit. The picture implies they painted their dog to look like a tiger, but they also put pictures around their farm.
This guy is adorable with those stripes. Do you think he has sort of an identity crisis? It's like, what am I?
Yeah, well, that, or he's like, what did you do to my fur? This is crazy.
This is a dye that apparently lasts for like 3 months.
So, yeah, and the monkeys have not been a problem for these farmers.
Although, you got to think, eventually these monkeys are going to learn, right?
Yeah.
And then they're just, you think there's ever going to be a situation where this desensitizes them to the tigers?
Yeah.
And tigers are just feasting on monkeys.
And then there's a tiger population explosion.
I hope we hear about that story later. That'll be great. This is another one that I really wanted Christy to see.
Yeah, I feel unqualified to comment on this one.
But she's talked about this before too. So apparently there's like some camping gear that's similar.
Yeah, she has talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was curious, like, which way do you think she would go on this?
I don't know. I think she would be for it, but maybe not. Mm. Out in 90 seconds, female urinals will have a peeing time for women, says Hong Kong Toilet Association. So the Hong Kong Toilet Association was looking at people in and out of male, like exactly equally equipped male and female toilets. Dudes get in and out a lot faster. And the solution is a paper funnel.
And urinals. So, yeah, they're going to have like a stack of these. I guess it's going to be like those cup dispensers. Yeah. Like at the, you know, or like the ice cream cone dispensers.
Neat.
You just pop one of these off and... I gotta wonder though, like, how hygienic is that?
I feel wholly unqualified to eat. Like, I don't even know.
I guess it's the volume would never build up, right? Yeah. Like, you can't generate enough pressure that it would wash back.
There's the I don't know.
It's weird.
There's definitely I would imagine that there's enough pressure for some splashback. Just
also the other thing to think about here is, you know, with the male genitalia, you can keep your pants on while you're working it. This, you're gonna have to juggle around your ankles. You're gonna be double handing that little cup, and you're gonna be bare ass to the world while you're straddling this. I mean, it seems a little, it's not dignified.
No,
is I guess my thoughts about it.
That seems like a lot of words to say. There's gonna be a new category on Pornhub.
Oh, look, there's like a silicone one too. You think that's reusable?
I would hope not.
We are creating waste. We're killing trees with this. And that's the... Here we go. Here's an action. Look how happy this... yeah, that's an interesting one.
I don't know.
We'll see. So it turns out they have like a commission on public toilets. And they're going to like vote on whether or not this is a good idea.
I like those urinals better because there's a place to put there's a place to put your phone.
That's nice, yeah.
There's a purse and there's a curtain.
You would have your phone up there still looking at it.
I mean, I've definitely been in the men's bathroom sometimes when I really wished that there had been a curtain for my urinal.
Yeah. Well, those handicap urinals like make it impossible to get close to it. So... We might as well just be using a trough at this point. You know? It's just somebody's looking at your penis. That's the world we live in.
I remember a time when bathroom urinals were actually a trough.
Yeah, the grade school ones. Literally just a bunch of kids just pissing in a trough. That's where we come from. Yeah. It's Christmas time, and One of the big Christmas traditions is, of course, the sweater. I don't like sweaters.
The awful sweater.
I find them itchy, but it is sort of like that. Oh, who can get the ugliest sweater? It's the time of year when it's okay to wear something terrible on purpose. And Walmart, of course, wants to sell you your ugly Christmas sweater.
Walmart wants to sell you literally anything.
Oh, that's true. But Walmart Canada might not have vetted their inventory.
This inventory was amazing. Walmart.ca pulls Christmas sweater featuring Santa with cocaine. It's only implied. This is fine.
Well, he's got some snow here.
It says, let it snow.
And he's cut it into tiny little lines.
This is perfectly fine.
His eyes are kind of bugging out.
It's fine. There's some other ones that were amazing that they also pulled.
This is actually maybe the most... you could make the most argument that this one's not offensive.
Yeah.
But the other ones...
I touch my elf.
That's a good one. Actually, this guy looks like how it would be if those women were using those urinals. Yeah, and then we've got... That one's pretty suggestive. In case you don't realize what was being in... This is the male genitalia.
Oh, Lord.
And there's...
I didn't see that one.
That's Santa getting a probe from an alien. Not sure, like, what that one even means. It's the BSDM Santa. Classic. Oh, they don't have the elf one.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, when I think about you, I touch my elf. And it was Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah. That's all we got this week. I don't know. Is next week the live news or the one after?
No, we have 2 weeks left before the Christmas week, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, like, Christmas week is probably going to be live news on, like,
Christmas
Sunday.
Christmas is on Wednesday this year, right? So, will we do live Sunday or live Tuesday?
Probably live... Well, we could do it during the day on Tuesday because everybody's going to be gone. Doesn't really matter.
You think Chris is going to be around for that? We'll have to figure out what Krista's schedule is.
We'll post the new the announcement on Patreon a little closer time. Maybe also Twitter.
Also, do I want to be hungover driving to my parents' house?
Probably
on
not.
Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. Oh, wait. Is Christmas Day on Wednesday?
Yeah, that would be Christmas Eve on Tuesday. So that definitely means streaming on Monday. Or Sunday. Sunday or Monday.
All right, we'll figure it out.
All right. Let's know. See you next week.